This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. As always, it's a warm welcome to Kerry Dixon for this week's Kerry Dixon Show. How are you, mate? Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave, yes.
I presume you enjoyed, what ended up really being quite a comfortable win against Swansea last Saturday, although, of course, it could have been very different had the referee given them a penalty when Aspie apparently handballed it. I mean, I don't think it was a handball myself, but you could have seen it given.
Yes, you could have seen them given. But once again, on the balance of the game, and I know games don't always work out like that, but generally overall, Chelsea were the better side, as I expected. And, Swansea are an improving side, and, they've got a chance of getting out at the bottom. Paul Clemens looked to be doing a decent job with a resurgent side and giving them confidence. But they did okay, but we were the better side, make no bones about it. And I definitely believe we were worth overall a 2-goal lead. The difference between the two sides. It could always be different with the refereeing decision. Every game can. A refereeing decision, a penalty like a sending off or something like that. They can always change games, but the balance of the game, I thought it was about right, 3-1, and I thought we were deserved winners. And listen, we saw some wonderful performances. I mean, me in particular, have been harping on a little bit about Cesc Fabregas, and once again he's proved that, in my opinion anyway, that he's definitely worth a place. Any two out of the three. I'm not saying that a Matic or a Kante isn't, but any two out of the three in certain games has done well this season. And it was Fabregas' turn, and I thought he was excellent on the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we talked a little bit about that, didn't we, last week, because we wondered whether he'd get his 300th Premier League appearance, and of course he did. But I think it goes back to a lot of stuff that we were saying, last year, Kerry, about, horses for courses. If you're at home and a team's going to, perhaps be a little bit negative against you, then you do want a player like Fabregas who can, unlock the door more than you need a Matic who can secure it at the back. And it was, I think a lot of supporters were really, really pleased to see him play. But of course, he put in a superb performance, scoring a goal, could have had two. And really pulled the strings all game, I thought. Just kind of proves what a good player he is, really, doesn't it?
Yes, and the other nice thing about it all is the fact that, he could have been one of those players who sulked. He could have been the way... I'm not saying he's been treated badly. He's been left out the side, but it seems like the manager, Antonio Conte, has got them all. When you're left out the side and the team's winning, it's obviously tough to grumble because the manager would be doing things right, as we said before. But he could have grumbled. He's a top-class player, as they all are. And, he could have demanded a move and he could rightly have gone and so on. But he hasn't. He's decided he's going to stay here. He's going to battle. And he's performed every time he's come in. And he's made the right noises. And he said if he's left out, he's left out. And he wants to try and prove himself to the manager. And you know, become a part of the furniture here. And I think it's very welcoming. You know, I think it's very good news all round. That players, modern day players, are like this. There's far too many of them, you know, get left out, and you know, for whatever reason, they sulk, they start moaning, they want to leave, and you know, I don't know how I'd react. I've got to be honest. If that sort of situation happened to me, but nevertheless, I think it's very welcoming from a modern player to have that type of view and to continue to come into the side as and when called upon and perform the way he does. And I think it's very good indeed.
Yeah, I think you hit on something really interesting there, mate. And you know, I think a lot of the credit is, I mean, I think Fabregas deserves a huge amount of credit for not, you know, throwing his toys out of the pram and knuckling down and being really professional about it. But I think a lot of credit perhaps has to go to Conte in terms of how he's managed that situation. And a lot of what I've heard is that he's got huge respect from the players, and he's really straight with them. You know, there's no kind of mind games. I've heard stuff about Mourinho when he was in charge. Not just the last time, the first time as well, that he would blank you totally occasionally, and there was a weird kind of communication there where with Conte, he plays it absolutely straight down the line, and this is why I'm doing it, this is what you need to do, but I will give you a chance, and you know, it's up to you to seize it. And I think that I don't know, I mean, you played, I didn't. Is that the kind of thing that would go down well with the players, do you think?
Well, I personally would love that attitude. I think it's the only way to be straight, tell it as it is, even if it's a person wants to hear, and if someone was straight with me, I'd be straight back, and you know, they would get a response, and we'd see how we go. And I think it's the only way to be. No player likes to be messed around. If they've been told honestly, and it is what it is, and you're going to get a chance, and it's up to you to go and do it, you'll know when you get that chance. When you go in, you've got to do it. If you do it and you go in, you could still then go back in and say, look, hang on, every time I go in, I'm doing it. I want to be in more than not in. And, you know, Fabregas is certainly laying his case down, as far as I'm concerned. That's not to say Matic isn't. It's not to say Kante isn't. It's not to say any of the others aren't. And it all makes for a healthy squad and good team morale.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the other thing with Conte, of course, he played at the highest level. He's a player, so he understands players, I think. And I think, you know, we're seeing the benefits of that, I think, in his management and his relationship with this crop of players. Talking of another person who I thought had another good game, and that's Pedro. And I'll be honest with you, Kerry, I saw Pedro last year, and I just thought, he's clearly a good player, but he's not going to do it in the Premier League because he gets bullied off the ball, etc., etc. But he has been absolutely fantastic this season, and you know, another goal and getting involved again. I mean, I'd be interested to hear what your take on Pedro is.
Well, like you and probably many other supporters, when he first came, I thought, just because he's at a big club, we bought him, but he was a bit part player, and he's going to be a bit part player for us. But, you know, and given the choice, I've asked in Q&As, William or Pedro, and, you know, previously I've pumped for William. I don't think there's a lot between the two of them. But I have to say, I agree with you. Pedro's put in to steal one of your phrases, put in a shift, and a good shift. You know, he scores goals, he produces, and, you know, the successful team is all about everyone contributing. And, you know, I think if you're a forward or a forward-type player, you've got to contribute in either assists or you've got to contribute in goals. You know, you can't just assist in running up and down the field. You know, you can get anyone to do that. You've got to be something. A defender defends and keeps clean sheets, and an attacking player attacks and creates and scores goals. You know, that's what's on your CV. So you've got to contribute in some part to that. He's certainly doing that. Yes, I'm convinced by him. I'm convinced by the whole team ethic. You know, I often ask myself and I look at the question and I still think back to the Harry Redknapp comment about how many Chelsea Tottenham players would get into the team, and I keep thinking about that, and you know, and I try and do that with other teams, Chelsea and players into Arsenal's team, and Chelsea players into Liverpool team, and so on, and you look around, and I used to think, well, I'm not sure there's many would, but now, you know, as the season goes on and performances get better and performances are being maintained, I think a lot of Chelsea players would stand their ground, and you know, you pick players from one team against another side, and I think there'd be a fair sprinkling of Chelsea players. Whereas in the past, perhaps I thought there you know, Harry Redknapp might have a point to a degree. So, yeah, Chelsea players have done themselves very good. And, you know, I'll explain that by how many people would have picked Moses a little while ago, you know, in ahead of, say, you know, a particular Tottenham player, Eriksen or something like that. You know, who knows? But these days, well, Moses has become a regular. And how many players, how many people would pick Alonso? Well, you know, yeah, Alonso is going in, doing well. We've got players who are doing very well, you know, and they're doing it very well on a consistent level. Yeah, I've changed my mind a bit, and Pedro's one of them that's helped me make my mind up in a different light.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I'm glad you mentioned people like Alonso and Moses. And I think, actually, in particular, mate, what I like is the fact that you mentioned that it's about the team. And I think if anything comes across, which fascinates me at the moment, we've got this incredible blend of, you know, creative players, match winners like Pedro, Hazard, Oscar Fabregas. We've got people like Luis at the back. But in the mix of all of that, you've also got some really unsung heroes like Aspilicueta, who always puts in a consistent performance. You've got Alonso, that nobody thought was any good. Moses the same. And right at the heart of that, in a sense, I think you've got kind of got the ultimate team player in N'Golo Kante, who everybody was absolutely... I mean, honestly, the talk about from most supporters leaving the ground was what they'd seen from Kante more than Fabregas in some respects. That passage of play where he won the ball back about four or five times, covering about 100 metres in the process. You know, he's the guy, he's kind of the glue that puts, you know, brings it all together, really, isn't it? It binds it all together, do you think?
Well, you know me, anyone who speaks to me about it, I like the creative player. That's probably why I go with Fabregas and sing more praises of the creativity than I do the negativity. But listen, his job is undoubted, Kante's. He's doing a fantastic job. And I have to say, Matic did the same job a couple of years ago, and he's still doing a good job this year as well. You know, let's not forget things. Last year was a write-off for a lot of players. You know, even the stars and so on, everyone, you know, the season was a poor one. Full stop. But this year, Matic has come back to his best. Kante has been a revelation, and it has been proved a good buy. The similarities to Claude Makélélé, of course, are there for everyone to see. And, you know, the comparisons are bound to come up. Makélélé was arguably the best in his position. Kante is arguably more mobile. Makélélé tended to sit a lot more. Kante tends to roam around the field and get around the pitch a lot more than perhaps Makélélé does, and still manage to do the job. So I'm not going to be the first or even try to say he's better, but he for me seems a lot more mobile than perhaps Claude Makélélé, who was the best in the world at his position. So listen, for those teams that need one, we've got one, and we've got one of the best.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, of course, I just love the way he you know, a lot of midfield players like that will. You know, I've got no problem with this. They'll go into the tackle hard and they'll win the ball, you know, and the man will disappear somewhere as well, and that's okay by my book. But what I love about Kante, he nicks it from them, you know, so he doesn't get as many yellow cards as a lot of players in his position might do. But of course, when he does nick it, he gives it to somebody, and that helps to create something. So I think having a player like Kante in there really helps the creative players in the side to do their job, and that's what I want to see. So I think he's a fantastic little player. I really do.
Yep. It'd be interesting end of season player of the year vote, wouldn't it then?
Well, it's interesting, yeah. I mean, there was a bit of talk about that this weekend. I mean, not just from the supporters, but from a lot in the media, you know. And, of course, generally, the player of the year, either for the one for everybody and the one for us, will go to a creative player. But it'll be interesting to see if Kante gets a look in, because, you know, I think he's worth a shout. Anyway, there's been a bit of news this week, Kerry, as Donald Trump might say, fake news, perhaps, because there's rumours that Conte, our beloved manager, has apparently, according to Tutto Sport, already signed a deal to go back to Inter Milan. I'm reliably informed that it's an absolute load of rubbish, but... I think it maybe hopefully will focus the mind on Chelsea to sign him up on a long deal, because he's pretty integral to our success at the moment, isn't he?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I've said it time and time again, and I said it when Costa was offered the Chinese money, apparently. If indeed that be the case, that his head was turned, or indeed it was an injury in and around the January transfer window. Success will bring attention. Good players, good managers will also be sought, and the temptation will always be there. I don't believe that he signed a new contract. I don't. I don't believe, and I stand to be corrected here, that it's legal to be signed by one club and sign another club unless you sign six months of your contract left or something with regard to what players do. But I certainly don't think that managers can be signed on by one club and actually sign an agreement with another club. So I doubt very much whether that be the case. But nevertheless, it doesn't surprise me that top clubs and top positions and Antonio Conte will be linked with him. He's a top manager and he's proved it once again. If he decides that Milan is better than Chelsea, then there will be an issue. But if he's happy where he is and he's happy doing the job he does and he's decided he likes it in London, then I really don't see a need for him to be moving anywhere.
Mm. I think you also got to factor in, of course, that Inter Milan are very unlikely to make the cup for Champions League football next season. And, you know, if you're a manager of Conte's stature, you want to be testing yourself against the best. And not only will he, I mean, almost guaranteed to be doing that with Chelsea next year, I think he's also got the opportunity to really build something here. And I think, you know, judging from what he did at Juventus, that's the kind of thing he would like to do. So I can't see any truth in the rumour, but I really obviously hope he stays. I mean, it's interesting enough, you mentioned Costa a minute ago. There's been more rumours about the Chinese still interested in taking him away. I wonder if that's a more likely outcome than Conte leaving.
Don't really like commenting on rumours.
Like
I've said, I do believe that a successful player will always be sought after. You know, their desires will be tested by finances. Costa wouldn't be any different to any other good player in the world. You know, money's there, will turn your head. And it's what you really want out of life. It's whether, you know, I can't believe they want money, but it's a staggering amount. And once again, if they're going to come in with them sort of terms and packages, then his head will be turned, and any player's or manager's head will be turned in that position. It's all about what you want out of life and what him and the club decide. If he decides to stay and he wants to be here, then so be it. If in the summer the club and him decide that money is going to be the key issue and, you know, there's no point in having an unhappy player who wants to go somewhere else and so on. And I imagine a deal possibly would be done. January, I don't believe, was the time for that. In the summer, if that be the case, and it'd be better if it was done early, if that be the case, it gives Chelsea a chance to sign plenty of other forwards around, you know. Diego is what he is, but if he wanted to leave in the summer and the money was extortionate for both club and player, and the player wanted to go, I would probably say, let's do the deal. You know, unhappy players is not what any club wants, and if you're an unhappy player, you saw last season, the team doesn't benefit from unhappy players. Yeah. It's better they move on and the club moves on. But we're talking about conjecture here. We're talking about something that might not even happen. So, yeah. It's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I think the interesting thing is that it's a story that's just not going away. And I think that makes it interesting in itself. Although, you know, judging by how Costa looked on Saturday, he looked like a very happy player to me, and a cracking goal he scored too, wasn't it?
Of course, yeah. I mean, how many of them this season? Like I said on the show last week, you know, let's hope he continues scoring goals and goes on to win the Golden Boot. It seems like only a few weeks ago when we talked about a goal drought you asked me about, and I said, was I worried?
Nope.
No, that's not the case.
Yeah, it was good to see. It was a great goal, and I, you know, amen to that, basically. I mean, away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boy's life. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Moving on to reality, Kerry, we've got, I think, quite a tough fixture coming up on Monday night against, local rivals West Ham. It's interesting, actually, because we talked a little bit about the run-in on last week's show, and I think there are some fixtures that, whilst on paper they look, we should pick up 3 points there, I think that they might be trickier than they look on paper. And I think, actually, for me, West Ham away is one of those. Would you agree with that?
Without doubt. I think previous encounter this season shows that that be the case. And, they're going to fight. They raise their game. It's a London derby. Chelsea used to be the same when we got Tottenham or Arsenal. Everyone tries to pull out that extra 10%. And it provides with an improved performance generally. It's a tough fixture. The crowd are going to be hostile. Albeit the new stadium for them is not perhaps as intimidating as Upton Park with the old bowling ground, as they call it. But nevertheless, it's not going to be an easy game. I think Chelsea will shade it by the odd goal. I really do. But I add a word of caution here. If Chelsea aren't up for the fight, and that'll be the first 10, 15 minutes, where, they'll get a sharp shock, because West Ham will be, going full blast, I believe, at it. Chelsea could come under pressure. It's one of those fixtures where a possible banana skin is there waiting, and it's up to Antonio Conte to get his players in the right mindset, which I'm sure he will, to understand what it's all about if he doesn't already. One season in the Premier League, he will understand what all games mean. And people in and around there like John Terry and that will quickly, if he needs advice, we'll tell him what it's all about. Every game's a difficult one, but they're all difficult for different reasons. You can go away to Sunderland. You can go up the north on a cold, wet night, or you can have a London derby on a Saturday afternoon. It could be anything. But this is going to be a London derby on a Monday night, and Chelsea have to be ready for it. If they are, I think they'll win. If they're not, there is a potential banana skin.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliantly summarised there, mate. I think that's absolutely spot on. And I do agree with you. I think Conte's track record in bringing titles home tends to make me think that he'll make the players fully aware that they need to be 100% on it, because if they're not, you're right. They could slip on a banana skin there. I mean, the reality is our record against West Ham, in recent history has been phenomenal. I think we've only lost about a couple of times in 21 games, but of course we did lose against them in the League Cup. When was it, October or something? Anyway, the bottom line is I can't see this game being anything like that game, because he made a lot of changes that game, and that was kind of, I think, either at the beginning or just before we embarked on that massive winning streak. So I think we are a very different team now to whatever team he picked at that time against them, so that fills me with a little bit more confidence.
Well, the goal, of course, is that the Premier League title is within sights, if you like. And that time in October or whatever month it was, we were still in a, I'm not going to say disarray, but we were still in a situation where we hadn't found our best team, we hadn't found our best form, and results were indifferent. We've had a few good performances, and we've had a few indifferent ones. The West Ham game was certainly an indifferent one. I fully expect, you know, the focus to remain staying in the side and being a title winner and being part of it. And from that, gives you that extra 10% to combat whatever West Ham throw at us. If indeed that be the case, which I fully expect that to be the case, I think Chelsea will have the better players, the better team ethic, and I think we'll win the game.
Yeah, I tell you, there's the one thing that worries me slightly, and it really revolves, it's kind of two-sided really. One is whether Andy Carroll plays for West Ham or not, because, you know, Carroll actually has got a superb record in London derbies. I think he scored 5 goals in his last 3 home London derbies, and he scored two of his last 3 games against Chelsea. But the corollary of that is that, you know, again, on Saturday, this kind of slight weakness that has been exploited a little bit, you know, with our defending against headers. You know, Llorente, who's a good header of a ball, put away a decent goal, and the marking was a bit lax. And there's a theory that, you know, Moses and Aspilicueta, you know, are being exploited somewhat by balls being pinged in across. And if you've got a striker like Carroll roaming around, that is a danger, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be the case. But, you know, the likes of Gary Cahill and David Luiz have to step into the step up, if you like, in this situation. Andy Carroll is undoubtedly a man that needs picking up when the ball's going to be crossed. And that should be the first port of call. Get tight enough so that you can't get a run at you. They know how to defend. They're international defenders. You know, and you pin the bloke. You know, if you allow him a jump on you, I think he's about 6'4". He's very good in the air. He's his main strength. And he's going to cause you a problem. And if you can't win the first header, you've got to make sure that people in and around that situation, the defenders, the Azpilicuetas, and, you know, anyone else who's going to be in and around that, the Cantys and so on, the Matic's, they've got to pick up the second ball. So, you know, that is his danger. But, you know, it's not all about Andy Carroll. I hear what you say. But Andy Carroll, if you shut down the crosses and if you do the right thing and you defend properly and you pin him and you get tight, you don't give him no space, you know, it can be defended against. You know, his overall record is what it is. He's a decent player, and I'm certainly not knocking him. But, you know, he doesn't get 20 goals a season too often. So, you know, whereas he does pose a threat in the air, he can be defended against. He's got a pretty good record overall. Just got to make sure we get it right on the night.
Yeah, too right. I mean, you're right, actually. I mean, another thing is that, you know, Antonio, who's been in really good form for them recently, is suspended. So, you know, on the other hand, you know, that's a little bit of an advantage, one might think. OK, time to nail our colours to the mast, Kerry. You've already said you're going to go by the odd goal, but how many, you know, is it a 1-0 or a 2-1 for you?
I think 1-0 or 2-1. You know, I I've said before, this Chelsea team can rise to the occasion, and it wouldn't surprise me to see a Diego Costa 1-0 win, or an Eden Hazard show. It's one of them, the tight games I've said before. Hazard's capable. You know, I don't doubt West Ham will try and give him some stick and take him out and so on. But he's got to rise above that. And it's the sort of game that Eden Hazard can produce. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him turning one of their performances and make it all happen for us. And Diego Costa perhaps to get the winning goal.
So you're going to go for a 1-0?
I'll go 2-1. I haven't given him no stick, but I've said he hasn't been great. But if you've got a record like he's got, there is an opportunity for Andy Carroll, and I'm sure he'll be determined to show once again on television that he's a striker of some worth. I'll go 2-1.
Yeah, I tell you what, mate, I'm inclined to agree with you. I was going to say 2-1 as well. I'm going to stick with that. Just one final thing, actually, on the West Ham game. Would you start with Fabregas or Matic?
Yeah, it's one of them. I've always said to Fabregas, I think this is a game for Matic and Kante, my own.
Right.
After me saying that Fabregas should be in, good point you raise. It's one of them games. For me, it would be Kante and Matic. Sorry, yeah, Cesc, if you listen.
Yeah, well, I apologise too, because he was so phenomenally good last week. But it goes back to what we were saying ages and ages and ages ago about horses for courses. And I think, you know, at home, when teams are going to, you know, be a bit more negative against us, then we need Cesc to unlock that door. But I think, you know, playing away is a different kettle of fish entirely. And I think, A, they'll be quite physical, West Ham, but also they will attack. And I think perhaps we do need that security of having Matic with Kante there. So I would agree with you about that. Either way, you know, let's hope the boys bring it home again on Monday. And, you know, basically, I think Conte was saying that he thinks we need 29 points to secure the title. So I think we are getting down to that countdown stage. So, you know, let's chalk another 3 points off. Now, before we get into the match on Monday, there's another very important little do tomorrow night, isn't there, Kerry? I think it's the launch, the premiere of the film about you, the documentary about you.
Yes, the first film premiere. We've got three sorted out for the next three Fridays. Yeah, the first one tomorrow. Promises to be a good night, as they all do. Looking forward to it. Hopefully the film is a success to what it is. Chris Burnett, who's put it together, is a good lad.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It comes across however people prefer to view it. It is what it is. It's a truthful, honest thing. It's an assessment of my life, the ups and the downs, and what I'd like to think now, a slight up again. So it tells its story pretty much in its entirety. Obviously, it has to be documented, and certain things, you know, can't be put in the film for one reason or another. But, you know, people will see it. People will have the opportunity to buy it once the premieres are finished. I hope people take it for what it is, because it is what it is. And, you know, people can learn from it. I've always said that. People can learn from what's happened to me, what didn't happen to me, and how easily things can change for you. But I've had a good life. I'm not complaining. And hopefully it will continue in an upward curve the way it's going here on in.
Well, that's great. I mean, it does look like a cracking night, and I'm really made up for you, mate, because I think you thoroughly deserve to have a few nights like this. But I think there's going to be some special guests there, aren't there?
Yes, I understand there are going to be. I mean, I've not even been told of all of them myself. A lot of the ex-players are turning up. My understanding is the likes of Chris Burnett, Harry Harris has been instrumental in getting a lot of them. So, you know, there are a few ex-players going to come. And, you know, as I say, it's going to be a good night, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, well, as I said, best of luck with that. Just quick, I think the DVD, because it is going out on DVD, isn't it? And that's going to be available at the end of March, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, once the premieres are finished, I understand.
Yeah,
it'd be wrong to have a premiere and then people could see it on a DVD before that. So that, the DVDs will be going out once the premieres are finished.
Yeah, and I think from what I recall, because Chris is a lovely chap, and of course people will recall I interviewed Chris and we talked about the film a month or so back. But I think if anybody's interested in getting the DVD when they're releasing it in about 3 weeks' time, then you need to go to midnightproductions.co.uk/footylegends100. So there you go. Kerry, all the best for tomorrow night, mate. I'll be thinking of you. Shame I can't be there, but I shall be there in spirit, and I'm sure it'll be a cracking night. And as I said, you deserve it, mate, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thank you very much, Dave. Let's hope we have 3 points and more encouragement from the boys on our quest for the Premier League title.
Hear, hear. Amen to that. Have a cracker, mate, and I'll speak to you next week. Take care.
Thanks, Dave.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.